This is a special fellowship for the new year, given by Brother Minoru Chen on January 12, 2024. Drawing from Song of Songs, he encourages us to start the new year with a dedicated time to open to the Lord. He describes our Christian journey as an ultra-marathon with many new beginnings, new courses, and new endings. May we all take time before the Lord to have a new beginning that results in new dealings and a new consecration.
So 10 days ago, we had a little time, and I had wanted to share something on my heart, which I will share today, this morning. But I was carried away. We had just come out of the semi-annual, you know, this recent training on the all-inclusive Christ as the being typified by the good land. So we did that. I spoke too long, like an hour and a half or something. So then this morning I had a time with the full-timers in North America, mainly the U.S. plus Canada, as I would do once a month on Zoom. And there would be several hundred of them, maybe 300 of them. Thank the Lord for Zoom. I talked to them about seeking the Lord. And in sharing that, I inspire myself, you know. If I'm not inspired, I cannot inspire other people. So, of course, the occasion, you know, the reason for some of these burdens or feelings is because this is the start of another year, you know, a new year. And I gave message 12 at the semi-annual, the last message, sort of a conclusion. You remember about really grace, right? Grace is this good land in our experience today. And this grace is nothing less than God, you know, in Christ as the Spirit, now indwelling us to be our everything. And the good land, of course, provided everything for Israel. And so today, this indwelling one is providing all of our needs, supplying us to live, to live Him, to express God, supply us to serve Him, to do His will, and so the Israel people were eventually brought to this land to live there. And in Deuteronomy, the land looms large, right? Actually, in the entire God's working and economy in the Old Testament with Israel, the goal or the aim eventually is for His people not only to leave Egypt, not only to pass through the wilderness. The wilderness is basically just a pass through. And, but the aim or the goal is to enter into the land. And that's where they should live. And that's where they should settle down. And that's where they should labor. And as God's people, And eventually, out of their occupation or possession of the and enjoyment of that and labor on that land, as a nation, as God's people, they would worship God. You know, they would worship God. And that's why they have to bring their riches and, you know, to offer to God, which all these riches produce from the land are all just aspects of Christ that we work on today and that we should accumulate and be constituted with and be enriched by. And we will bring that surplus, right, to the church. And there we enjoy this, produce, with God and with one another. And that would, comprise our real worship to God. And out of all of this, God's habitation would, that is God's house, would be built. That God would have a dwelling place in that land, right?
Yes.
On this earth for his expression. And not only so, eventually that there would be a kingdom established, a city built for God's dominion and God's representation. And this is the full type, or the inclusive type, actually, of God's whole economy. So today we are the fulfillment of that. This morning when I was with these mostly younger people, full-timers, I just spoke very much with them concerning their seeking the Lord with this in view. But I'm not here to repeat that. I only say that because these days I'm quite burdened, or very burdened, about this matter. My original feeling or burden 10 days ago has to do with this. You know, in the past years, the pandemic time, I think once or twice I spoke at the beginning of the new year, and it was recorded. And I think it is posted on the Living to Him. There's a website called Living to Him that you can watch. And apparently it was quite helpful to the saints. I do not remember once or twice about what we should do at the beginning of a new year. And I testify about my own experience, how it is not as a religious practice, yeah, not just as a routine kind of practice, but on the other hand, a healthy practice that we all would take time in the beginning of a new year to spend time with the Lord in a special way, not in a ordinary way, but in a particular way, because it's a new season, it's a new year, it's a new a new phase in our lives. So I practice that sometimes stronger, sometimes maybe not as strong, but to have that kind of time with the Lord personally. No one else, just personally. Longer time. And at this time, to with the Lord, number one, to evaluate my last year, to reflect, to consider, in a way, how I did last year in many things, in my relationship with the Lord, my pursuit of the Lord, my experience of the Lord, and then, of course, with my service, with my work and other things. And those kind of times are times what we would call dealing with the Lord. Dealing, don't be afraid of the word dealing. Dealing means to have conversation, heart to heart conversation. Things that in an ordinary day you would not think to talk about. But then you have a friend, someone close to you, to spend a few hours together. You get into, the deeper things, right? Things you would ordinarily not come up. But that would enter into that conversation. To have that kind of deeper level of conversation with the Lord in an open way, just no holds bar, no deflection, no hiding, no nothing. Just entirely lay bare and laid open to the one who searches our inward parts, to the one who knows our inward being. And that conversation will bring about the proper kind of evaluation, because when you are with the Lord and you are under the Lord shining, in the Lord's presence, His speaking is fresh and real and undeniable. And so that coming of the Lord in that kind of a way, and I say again, it takes time, because this is in more detail, not just, say a few words and you're done. It with great detail and no hurrying. You remember the God's visitation of Abram and Sarah, on his way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a long meal. And you remember that? Culminating in a very glorious intercession by Abram for Lot, And Jehovah was just right there. And there's just this presence and conversation. And so something like this, something in the inner chambers, something where the Lord would bring forth things that even you don't remember, or you didn't care for. It is intimate. It is heart to heart. And how much the Lord can do that depends on how open we are to Him. In Psalms, which I will touch in one of the stages, you know, this song is full of conversation, huh? Between the beloved, that is the Lord, and the lover, that is the us. It's just this conversation. And Solomon, you know, the man, the beloved, would say, "Open to me. Open to me." At least there's one verse that says that. Where is it? Let me see. That would be, I think, chapter 5, verse 2. "Open to me." As if the Lord just wants that or needs that. You know, this kind of opening and full opening, may I say this, being naked in his presence, being just utterly lay bare in his presence, is very, very needful. So, with that kind of evaluation and reflection with the Lord, now this is not introspection, huh? You know, just kind of self-analysis without the divine light or without the Lord speaking. No, this is with the Lord and his speaking and his touching, and you're allowing him to speak and to touch as he wishes. Will bring forth a lot. And out of those reflection and evaluation and deeper consideration, I would say there will be the kind of transaction between us and the Lord. Transaction. Transaction is really, you know, the word deal is a business term, right? Let's make a deal. That means let's transact and come up with a deal, something that we both agree on, you know, in business, right? So dealing has that meaning. Dealing is not the Lord hitting you with a stick. That's a wrong understanding. Dealing is transacting with the Lord. And then you would be with the Lord and he would be with you. He would say something to you. You would respond to that, like that, back and forth. And in that, there would be the Lord's speaking. The Lord's, I would just say this, and don't be scared, okay? The Lord's rebuke of me. The Lord's exposure of me in various things. Maybe touching my marriage, my relationship with my spouse. You see what I'm saying? The most intimate kind of things that you don't want to talk about or face, the Lord may touch. Or your a particular thing you have with a brother. Or certain thing in your life that is not pleasing to the Lord. You know what I mean? I don't know. It could be anything. Only he knows. But to the extent that we are open to him, he will come faithfully to touch us and shine on us. And so we transact with the Lord. Not, again, I say, not hurrying. Don't hurry the Lord, right? The Lord cannot be hurried. You know, a number of times again in Song of Songs, the beloved, that is the Lord, said, he told the other daughters of Jerusalem, she's resting, you know, this woman. He said, don't disturb her. Don't arouse her. That means what? Don't hurry up. Don't hurry things. And at least twice you have this phrase, until she pleases. This is like the Lord being with us. He does not force things. If you don't open, He will wait. If you're not ready, He will be patient. We like to just get it done, you know? What's the deal? Where do I sign, you know? But the Lord is not like that. He said, until she pleases. That means until she is ready. Until we are ready. The readiness is not on the Lord's part. He is always ready. The readiness is on our part. Are we ready? And this word, until she pleases, appears twice, I think, in this Song of Songs, right before another stage. Another stage. They're all together six stages in Song of Songs. Right before another stage that the Lord is calling this lover to come with Him into, you know, to go on to another phase of their life, another phase of pursuit of Himself. But the Lord would say, until she pleases. So I would just add this word. The Lord is always waiting for us. We are not waiting for Him. He is always waiting for us. But until we're ready, the Lord would not force anything on us. He may raise up certain environment. He may do something to gently tap you on your shoulder to get your attention to whatever, but he never forces until she pleases. All right, that's just over here. So, all right. And with that transaction, I would say that will lead to something else, and it will lead to a kind of consecration. But not an old consecration, but a fresh one. A new one that is based on that evaluation, based on those fresh and intimate conversations, based on prolonged transaction with the Lord in this or in that. There would be a new consecration on our part to Him. In a new way. It can take the form of a vow, which even it's in the Old Testament. You know, a vow. A vow is more than a promise, you know. Today all these wedding vows are, you know, just words, mostly. Even just kind of ritual and just words. But a real vow is more than a promise. It's an oath. It's a covenant. You can say it's a covenant that you make between you and God. For this next phase of your life. And so year by year, and sometimes not year, sometimes certain season by season, but in any event, stage by stage, this is how we progress in our pursuit of Christ. I am concerned that we all generally have a idea that we need to run the race, we need to, you know what I mean, pursue the Lord, you know, all of that. But the first burden, thing I want to help us to realize is that our pursuit of Christ, which is what this Christian race is all about, with an aim to fully gain him and possess him for his purpose. This race that Paul talks so much about, that he was running from the day of his conversion, right, to the day of his martyrdom, how that even towards the end, he was still running that race and not considering that he has attained or have obtained, but he's still pursuing. That only in 2 Timothy 4:8 at the end, he would say, what? I finish. I finish the race. I ran the race. The point is this, brothers and sisters, that this race is not one long race of 60 years or however long you just run. No, no. According to the Bible, and according certainly our experience, this race is like this kind of super marathon, you know, this, what do you call them, this ultra, you know, 100-mile run. You don't run it 100 miles. It's done by stages. Am I right? You go stage, or this this dog sled race in Alaska. They have stations. You know what I mean? It's stages. So, brothers and sisters, our race is in stages. And Song of Songs is basically a whole picture of a ultra marathon between this lover of the Lord, broken down into, in this case, six stages. And what this means is this race that we're on, this pursuit of the Lord, has many new beginnings. Not just one beginning, bang, you know, then you run off for 60 years and you end up somewhere. No. There's many bangs, you know. Do you follow me? There are many starts. There are many new beginnings. And obviously this means there are many courses. Each course is different. Sometimes it gets mountainous and you're running a mountainous course. Sometimes it's in the valley. You're running the valley course. Sometimes you have to, run through rivers. You know what I mean? And you are in various stages in your life, in your age, in your environment, in all of situations as arranged by God, as designed. These races, courses are designed perfectly for you and for me to run. But my point is new beginnings, new courses, and listen to this, new endings. I mean, each phase has an end. Otherwise, it's not a phase or stage. You know, these Tour de France, you know, these bicycles, it's 1,000 miles or yeah. I don't know, whatever it is, you know, the mountain section and the whatever, you know, it's 30 days. And they traverse so many miles and so many different kind of topographies, and it's hardly a sprint. So lots of new beginnings, lot of new courses, and lot of new endings. And don't have the idea of one start, one course, and one end. Okay? Now, then you say, how do I discern you know, what stage I'm in. Well, I obviously cannot tell you. I don't think anyone can tell you. Only the Lord knows, right? What stage you're in. Only He knows. But I'm talking about, in principle, so you start a new stage and you run. And the end of this stage, so to speak, is you reach the goal of that stage. You reach that, what do you call it, the end of that run. You reach it successfully. And so you can say, just looking at this stage, you finish it. You finish your course successfully. And you actually arrived at a certain higher condition, richer condition, fuller condition. You reach a certain state, a certain condition of fullness relative to this stage from the time when you began. You've arrived. So you ran this stage well. Yeah? You finish it. And the finishing of this stage like that means you progressed as a Christian. You follow me? It's measurable, and I don't mean by feet and miles, I don't mean that. But in this sense, in principle, it's measurable. So I'm looking at myself. I started running, you know, okay. I was baptized when I was 11 years old. I wouldn't consider myself that I have started to run because I was just like this. I started to run, really, when I was about 16, when the Lord revived me and I met the Lord. I was saved, but I met the Lord and gave my life to the Lord and began my honest and knowing what I'm doing pursuit of the Lord. That's a stage. And I will tell you, that stage, although it's a couple of years or something like that, or 2-3 years, ended. I can tell you that, looking back, huh? I can tell you that. That's when the race started, and when I was in Hong Kong, still in high school, 16, I was in high school. The Lord called me, and I consecrated my whole life to the Lord. I began to love Him and His Word. I began to be in the meetings, you know, all of that. So that was it. And then I came to this country when I was 17. I went to school in Oregon. No church life there. But I must tell you, I was running. I came with one duffel bag of clothes. It's a World War II duffel bag from my dad. Military duffel bag. And besides my, you know, my portable typewriter in those days and the camera on my neck is just two boxes of books, mainly Watchman Nee. And that year, or a little bit more than a year, away in Eugene, Oregon, without a church life, but meeting with some Christians, I was like in Arabia, you know. You know, Paul went through an Arabia run that he didn't talk about that much until later, 14 years later. You remember that? There was a face. And so I have my face, you had your face. And that face, quote, quote, ended when I moved into the church life in Los Angeles. There I began phase two. So my first phase was not in the recovery in this country, but it's still a phase. I was a pursuing Christian. I was into the ministry. I'm just illustrating, huh? That's how our life is broken down. And it should be that way. And since I came to the Lord's Recovery, this is 1967. No. My moving is 1969. All right. Until now, you know, 2024, in the church life, but I can tell you numerous faces. Now, I didn't go back to study that, but I can tell you right now, even just as I'm speaking, that it can be broken down into a number of phases, 4 or 5 phases, depending how you break it down. Sometimes there are some sub-phases. Actually, brothers and sisters, if you understand what I'm trying to say, the more phases, the better, in a way. There are different ways to measure this. In other words, the more new beginnings, the more courses, the more endings, and the more new starts, the better. It is cyclically by this phase after phase or stage after stage, you ascend, you know, you go higher. You progress, you go further. It is by this way you gain Christ as the good land more and more. You know, it says wherever your foot will tread upon, that will be yours. So that good land, you needs a lot of running to put your feet everywhere. So a lot of phases. And at now I come back. How do you know that you are at the end of a race, of a phase, excuse me? Well, I will tell you. At the end of a certain race, and I'm helped by Brother Lee here, on the one hand, you have reached a situation that is more advanced than when you started. Let's say in your enjoyment of Christ, right? In your love for the Lord, in your knowing of Him, in, you know, all these spiritual accomplishments or attainments, which marks our progress, spiritual progress, or mark our spiritual progress. On the one hand, you feel a sense of arrival, a sense of attainment. You know, don't think this is proud. You know, Paul, in talking about his running in Philippians 3, he said this at the end, you know, he said, I pursue, I forget what is behind, right? I press on and stretch forward. He said that, whereunto we have attained, we need the same mind. In the context of running. This means that there is a certain attainment at the end of a stage. You know, the saints who go to this full-time training here, I would say those 2 years is a compressed course. Very compressed, because they're not there just doing, you know, a walk. It's 2 years compressed. They are running, you know, some at least 7-minute mile, okay? Whereas we are not in the training, we run a little bit more leisurely. So I would say to many of them, you tell me, you who have been in the training, isn't that a course? You began in August of some year, 2 years later, and there's some sub-courses, it's called 4 semesters. Am I right? Term 1, term 2. And then at the end of 2 years, you have attained to something. I don't mean a piece of paper. I mean you have entered a level of fullness that you didn't have 2 years ago. Otherwise, what are you doing here? So that's what I mean by attainment. But surely that is only a stage. So at the end of that stage, on the one hand, you feel you have arrived. You have, you know, by the Lord's mercy and grace, right? This should be. You're satisfied. You have known the Lord a lot more. You enjoy the Lord more deeply, and this and that. You know the Word and this and that. Okay. But let me tell you, this is counterintuitive. But simultaneously, you feel unsatisfied. Meaning, you say, what next? This is not all. I'm still just 26 years old or whatever it is. Is this all? I have arrived at the end of this stage. But I tell you, it does not take long for these graduates, when they go home, maybe on their way back, to be flooded with a sense of dissatisfaction. Do you follow me? Discontentment. Now, I want to tell you that not only FTTA graduates feel this way, even we, in our pursuit of the Lord, experience this. I do. And that sense of what next, is this all? Do you follow me? Reveals deep down there's still a thirst. There's still a hunger. I'm not there yet. Do you follow me? And at the same time, even in those situations, you may even feel that you couldn't quite find the Lord like you did when you're in the training. You lost him. Where did the Lord go in the training? It's like every morning, you know. But here, I'm out. Where is the Lord? Where has he gone? This is Song of Songs. I'm telling you the story of the Song of Songs. Where is my beloved? She was very contented. She was kissing the Lord with the kisses of the mouth, and your love is better than wine, and draw me, we will run, and all the rest. I'm looking at this. She was in love with the Lord. She was advancing. She was in the church life. She's following the footsteps of the flock. She is called by the Lord, appraised by the Lord, the rose of Sharon and lily among the thorns, the apple tree. Oh my, she really has gone on with the Lord. And the Lord acknowledged that. Even at some level of transformation that she experienced. Then the voice of the beloved came, leaping on the mountains, skipping on the hills and all of this. And now suddenly the Lord is looking through windows and glancing through ladders. That means there's a barrier. She was in the king's chamber, right? She was with the Lord. And suddenly there's a distance. There's something there. And this is where the beloved said, rise up, my love. Come away. Two times. You know what? This is what I'm describing. She need to end this stage. This stage has ended. What the Lord, what her attainment, whatever her attainment is, that attainment is not adequate. She may be satisfied with that attainment, but the Lord is not satisfied with her just staying at that attainment. The Lord wants her to grow, to advance, to go further with him. And in this case, He wants to now call him to be delivered from herself and to know the cross. She is happy. And so the Lord has to call. So at the time when you feel dissatisfied again, you know, discontented again, you felt you lost the Lord again, you know what that is, Francis. That is the Lord's calling. That dissatisfaction is not that you did something wrong or you're bad. No. That inner dissatisfaction with your condition is the Lord calling you to the next stage. And even this lady here had a hard time here and there. In this case, you know, he became introspective and this and that. I mean, you can go back and read various things. He was just happy with what she is. The Lord wants her to come forward. So, okay. So, this ending, this sense of a new kind of thirst, a new kind of desire, a new kind of dissatisfaction signals the need for a new beginning. In fact, it enables us, motivates us to start a new phase with the Lord. You know, I am here again because this is a new year, right? Now, our calendar new year does not exactly mean this is our spiritual new year. We all are in different conditions and situations. But I just am burdened to use this occasion of a new year to help us all to realize our life, Christian life and church life, both individual and corporate, are full of new beginnings, new courses, and new endings. And it is through this procedure that we can say we are going on with the Lord. Or the Lord is growing in us, or that we are entering into a deeper experience of Christ. So, don't have the thought that, oh, I need a new beginning because I mess up, you know. I did something really bad, or I stumbled. I got off. So I need a new beginning. Well, surely you need a new beginning. But even if you never stumble, you never fail. I mean that. You're in the church. You're still serving. You're still going on. We still need to come to an end in a certain stage so that we can start a new stage. You know, Brother Lee, in his words in the end, toward the end of his life, he said, level by level. Do you remember that? Like stage by stage or level by level, we will, right? Become the same, etc., etc. This is the principle, level by level. All right. You know, there's a famous Madame Guyon. You know, this is the Guyon, a very spiritual lady in the Catholic Church in the 17th century or 1817. Anyway, she's a great lover of the Lord. She's in the Catholic Church and all that stuff. But she is someone who have touched the matter of the inner life. And we very much stand on her shoulders in that respect, the inner life line. She loved the Lord, and she just, even when she is pursuing and not stumbling, she have to come to an end in a certain stage of hers in order to start a new stage of experience with the Lord. Altogether, six stages with this pursuer to enter into ascension, to live in the new creation, to live more strong. I'm just reading from the outline, to live more strongly, be within the veil, through the cross, and then eventually the phase of her working with the Lord, and finally reaching maturity, waiting for the Lord to come back. The last prayer in Song of Songs is, make haste, come, my beloved. That means she is ready to be raptured, waiting the Lord's coming. That's what happened. So it is normal in this sense that on the one hand, we are deeply satisfied by the Lord as we enjoy Him and so forth, as we pursue Him and follow after Him. But it is also normal that towards the end of some stage, we would feel empty, we'll feel dissatisfied, but that is actually a green light. That is actually a call. That is actually an urge by the Lord to go on, to come forward. You know, Hebrews, come forward. Come forward to seek Him more diligently. Now, I have to say, actually, not only individually or personally, we should experience this, even as a church, a local church, should rightly go through phases. And that's how a church grows in its or her spirituality, in her fullness of the stature of Christ, in her testimony, collectively, or rather corporately, it should be that way. Listen, I will end here. Without this that I'm describing, this kind of new beginnings, new course, new endings, new beginnings, and so on, I think Long Beach, I think during the pandemic, somewhat was an ending of a certain age, a stage for the church. There's dissatisfaction. Am I? There's a cry for revival. Am I right? For newness, for renewal as a church. So without that, listen, inevitably, our personal spiritual life or the church as a whole will lapse into formality, into routineness, into mundaneness, into just a rut, which we can become. Just a rut. You're still here. I mean, you're still going on. But there's no vitality, there's no freshness, there's no impact and power in your life and in your church life. So I come back, and I will end to my beginning, and that is because of this, I just adjure the saints, encourage the saints, admonish the saints. At least take these early days of 2024 to go to the Lord. To go to the Lord to have this new beginning that result in new dealings and new consecration. Then we can go on in this new year in a revived way. So many things outwardly are the same. We're still coming to DC, right? Doing this or that. But inwardly, you're in a new stage. You are in a fresh run. You are heading towards a higher goal. You have been renewed. You are being renewed. You are actually a vital Christian, a vital believer. And if the church would experience this, this is what? This is a revival of that church. Well, I spoke too long, but this is a thank you for this opportunity. I hope this little word is helpful to us if we practice it. Yeah. I have more to say about just the experience of the Song of Songs, right? The Lord is calling. Come. Come away. Open. Right?
Brother Lee spoke about in a book called The Law of Revival.
Yeah.
The green light. And so
I got a lot, like part of the help, yeah, definitely from tremendous. The Law of what?
Revival.
You know, since you brought that up, and I go back to 10 days ago, my fellowship, I think I mentioned this. Brother Lee, I'm telling you now, Brother Lee, is coming to this country back in 1962. Huh? That's when he gave that All-Inclusive Christ Conference in L.A. That is a brand new start of the move of the Lord's recovery on the earth, on the earth. Leaving the Far East to come to America. There's a little China man that is 60 years old almost, with thick accent. Now we all know without that we won't be sitting here in this room. It's tremendous, even in church history, for sure in our history. But I like to say this, that is not just a new start for the recovery. It is. That is a new start of witnessing. And I won't get into the reason and the history and the stories, but I can tell you that based on my study very, very clearly. That was his stage in Taiwan. You know, he was in Taiwan for 10 years, ended, and it must end. And for several years, there's this conversation, dealing, very deep, even he used the word struggle with the Lord, in how he should go on, and how the recovery work should go on. You look at Brother Lee's ministry, you will see phases. You see stages. Same thing with Watchman Nee, and same thing with spiritual people, if you study. So, take the time. The Lord won't hurry, but the Lord is waiting. The Lord won't force us, but the Lord is calling us, right? Amen. In the Bible, when it says, he who thirsts, let him come, that refers to the unbelievers. They're all thirsty, you know, they don't have Christ. But it applies to us just the same. Actually, one of the greatest blessing from the Lord to us is the sense of thirst. The moment, the day you lost your thirst and hunger for God, for His righteousness, actually, the red light should be blinking. You're in danger zone. That constant feeling of dissatisfaction and desire for more. You know, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, right? It's a blessing. When we don't have this feeling of thirst for God, and we're just contented, we're okay, you know, we're not in a good condition. We should be lifelong thirsty believers, filled with desire, filled with seeking, and filled with pursuit of Christ. And every time you have this cycle, there's a new desire, there's a new thirst, and actually there's a new capacity for more of the Lord in our daily life. In these times, these kind of personal time with the Lord, also a lot of confessions. Not just consecration and the contract, what is the word I use?
Transaction.
Transaction. Yeah. But I would say that transaction and all that in it is a lot of confession. The Lord touch you. See, you are still like this. See, you didn't do what I told you to do. See, you were wrong in this. See, a lot of those shining from the Lord, you have to make confession. And this is part of that dealing and transaction. In my time, I look to the Lord. Lord, as a piece of this, Lord, what do you want me to do this year? What do you want me to do? I don't know. You know what I mean? As part of that. Or I may say, Lord, this is my burden. How do you feel? You know, read it to the Lord's work or something like this. Or, Lord, I know this is what you want, but I cannot do this. Help me. You know, many, many such prayers and conversation with the Lord. Yeah. Lord, we pray this little word, oh Lord, will motivate.
Yes.
Oh, would stir.
Amen.
Oh, we just pray, draw us again, Lord.
Yes.
That we will run after you,
amen.
Lord, in a fresh and a new way.
Yes.
In each of our own lives,
amen.
And in our churches.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. To hear the complete recording and other messages, please visit livingtohim.com. If you would like to receive regular updates from us, please subscribe to this podcast and join our mailing list on our website. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, where our handle is @livingtohim.